Listener production.
Stick with us on Footy Talk. Coming up on today's show, we are talking with Kirsty Lamb about all things to do with her AFLW career. Of course, 2018 Western Bulldogs Premiership player, 2022 Best and Fairest and All-Australian in that same year. We're going to talk all things about her career and, of course, preview the huge grand final coming up this weekend, North versus Brisbane, 2:30 on Sunday at Icon Park. You're listening to Footy Talk, your daily dose of footy, the latest news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFLW. And to kick off the grand final week, we have a very special guest, Kirsty Lamb. Thank you so much for joining us. It is a pleasure to have you in the Footy Talk studio.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to the chat.
How's the off-season going? First of all, we've had a few weeks off now. Have you got the craziness out of the way and you're back into reality?
It's not going to lie. It's been nice to just, take the foot off the pedal for a couple of weeks and sort of relax a little bit. But obviously still working at the moment throughout that time. So, yeah, footy hours have obviously stopped. I've replaced them with uni hours. So life's still a little bit hectic at the moment. But it has been nice just to sort of step away from footy for a little bit and catch up with friends and family, which you sort of don't get to do a heap of during the in-season just because it's so hectic. But it's been nice to sit back and just watch some footy as well.
Well, let's get into your career because you actually came up through most juniors, played a little bit at Diamond Creek, played over 150 games for Diamond Creek in women's football. That's pretty big coming into the AFLW scheme of things because not many people get to play that many games for their club before the league actually started.
Yeah. Well, I started playing at Dymo when I was, I'm going to go 15. I reckon I had to wear a helmet in my first year because I was the youngest player and I think they made a rule that you have to wear a helmet until you're 16. So I think I played the...
They saw your registration and thought, we need to make up a rule for this girl.
So
put a helmet on it.
Chucked a helmet on from first year. Obviously played a number of years at Dymo and sort of chopped and changed with cricket along those sort of few years. But, obviously a creaker at heart and, love Dymo, still keep in contact with a few of those players and they've all sort of moved on or got kids or married or, some of them are still playing football. And, I've always love Dymo and always try and get back there where possible.
Who are some of those crew that came out of Diamond Creek? So the ones that you keep in contact with, the ones that played sort of AFLW or are still playing?
Yeah. So like Millie Barden, Shay Audley, Laura Corrigan are sort of a couple of names that have all now got, two or three or four kids and, they all sort of stick together. We've got a bit of a Dymo group chat, which still gets a good run, particularly in AFLW season when something pops up. A lot of the girls sort of keep in contact sort of via that sort of group chat and, often there's someone's popping up saying, I'm having a baby and, everyone gets around them and, there's sort of plenty of girls that keep in contact with each other, which is, what footy's all about. It's what sport's all about really, which I think is, super important, even though they've left the game a number of years ago, still keep in contact, which is nice.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of other sports, so you grew up playing cricket. Was cricket your first sport?
Nah, I reckon footy was.
Footy. So yeah. Footy then cricket. So how did you get that sort of happening at the one time? What age did you start playing cricket? Because we all know about your Big Bash career and your WNCL career, which probably came before Big Bash because that's sort of the pathway through cricket. And then were able to play for the Melbourne Renegades in the inaugural season of the Big Bash with the 8 games that they had then and then made the transition full-time over to football. But how did that all work?
Yeah, I think obviously as a youngster growing up, footy and cricket were sort of my two main sports. And obviously when I grew up, they were predominantly male sports. There wasn't many sort of females and there certainly wasn't, I wasn't visible at that stage. And obviously there was no AFLW. And so that kind of pushed me almost into cricket a little bit more just because there was a bit more of a pathway for female cricketers, certainly when I was going through. Sort of got picked up in some of the underage cricket stuff and then just sort of followed that pathway into sort of Vic Spirit. And I think my first contract there was when I was 17. Obviously had a number of years in the system with the Vics. And then obviously WBBL started on the back of the men's BBL that had been going for a few years. We did play 2020s. We used to play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'd travel on like a Thursday and we played 2020 on a Friday and one day on a Saturday, 2020 on a Sunday and fly back home.
And get paid $10 for it.
Yeah, something along those lines. I think my first contract was a $100 fuel voucher.
That got me
real far from Yarrambat into MCG 4 days a week. That was like at least a petrol tank.
That'd be worth a fair bit these days too.
It would.
because of how the price of petrol, that would have just incrementally increased from now.
So
if anything, that was great.
$100 went straight to Dad because he was still driving me at that stage. So
thanks,
good
Dad.
Good work, Dad. But yeah, obviously the game of cricket has evolved so much over, the last decade. And obviously I think footy will have a pretty similar trend. But yeah, obviously just played Renegades a little bit. I didn't have the greatest of cricket careers. Like if you look at my my career stats and stuff. Fair to say I was pretty good at making Gatorade. I did a lot of watching of cricket. I didn't do a heap of playing, but I still sort of loved it. I obviously walk away with plenty of friends playing both footy and cricket in the first year or second year. I had a two-year contract with the Renegades, which was the first year of the footy. So I sort of had that crossover. There was a few of us back in the day. There was myself, Nat Plain, both played at Renegades together. Jess Cameron, now Jess Duffin, Emma Carney, both sort of at the Stars at various stages. I think Delisa Kimmins played a little bit. Webby played. Like, there's a few of us that sort of in those first few years were sort of playing two sports at the time. So yeah, obviously well, in footy terms, delisted, but pretty much got sacked from cricket from both of them, and which in a way was like probably a good thing because then I could just focus on footy. And I've always loved footy more than I did cricket. I just didn't have a pathway for footy when I was growing up. So, yeah, that sort of all happened pretty quickly at the end of the second year of WBBL starting and, just focus on footy.
So you were playing WBBL at the time that you got the call up to be drafted or that you found out you were drafted. Is that correct? Did that happen at the same time?
Yeah, pretty much. So 2016, when the draft happened, 2016 was an interesting year in my life. I, as I said, average cricket career, and I was sort of at that crossroads where I knew AFLW was going to start, and I was like, do I want to cross to footy? Do I really want to put my head down and have a good crack at cricket? I actually went over to the UK for 3 months and played a summer over there, which meant that I missed pretty much all of footy season. And I knew that was a big decision because everyone would have had eyes on footy that year. Given the draft was coming up, we're going to have to draft so many people. So I made that call to go over to the UK and lived in over there for 3 months. And that was the best time of my life. Again, didn't play a lot of cricket, but geez, I had a good social life.
Yeah, good.
And it taught me a lot about myself and just, you know,
that
something a bit
different.
That would
have prepared you very well for AFLW.
Oh, it really did. It really, really did. And then, yeah, came back. I think I played 5 games that year and just was like lucky enough to obviously get picked up in the draft and whatnot. But from a cricket perspective, yeah, I was sort of like juggling WBBL, so we were on the road a fair bit, which meant I missed a lot of pre-season with footy, but I also wasn't playing a lot of cricket, so I sort of wasn't training for footy and wasn't playing for cricket, but I was just on the road all the time. So it was sort of an interesting one, but I had obviously Renegades and the Dogs worked super closely together, which I was super lucky, and they kind of kept me fit. I did have a stressy in my foot that year coming into the first, so I didn't play at all WBBL in the first AFLW year because the cricket were trying to get me through for footy.
Yeah.
As much as I wanted to play cricket, they probably did the right thing by me and not actually pick me even when I could have played to get me right for footy. And yeah, lucky enough, obviously played all the games in the first year, even though I was a little bit disappointed not to play a game of cricket that year. But yeah, juggling the two was certainly challenging, but at the time it's like it's all you knew and you just wanted to play sport, so I was pretty lucky.
So the first AFLW draft was obviously a massive draft with all of the teams, or the 6 teams at the time,
yep,
needing to fill their players. You were taken as pick 138 overall.
Yep.
Did you know pre-draft that you were likely to go somewhere, or was it this whole you sat around for hours watching the draft, just anxiety growing and growing, and then eventually it happened?
Yeah, I remember draft day like it was yesterday. I had no idea. I obviously just put my name forward and obviously didn't know what was going to come of it. My brother actually hurt himself at work and my parents were overseas. So we're sitting in the emergency room at a hospital and I was watching it on his phone, watching the draft. And I got to pick 120 and I turned it off because I was like, oh, all my mates from Dymo are all getting picked and I'm not going to get picked. So I actually turned it off and we had cricket training that night. And so at this stage I was in the team with Emma Carney and Jess Duffin, who Carnes got taken prior.
Yep, she was a priority pick, I think
she was, yep, for the Dogs. And yep, then Jess got picked up in the draft. And I'm trying to think whether Nat Plain was there or not at that stage. But anyway, I was driving to cricket And I got a text message from a good family friend going, oh my God, like I can't believe you got picked. And I sort of pulled over on the freeway, quickly tried to get the draft back up on my phone. And I'd missed my name coming up and I missed hearing my name get called out. But then obviously the phone started going off and, yeah, you've been picked, like go Dogs and all this sort of stuff. I was like, oh, cool, like I made it. So, yeah, I missed all of it. That pretty much sums me up. I wasn't patient enough to sit there and watch the whole thing. So
it does sum you up.
It really does. So, yeah, just like obviously just scraped in. I think it was at 142.
138.
I was 138, but in 140 out of 142 players, I think it was. So, like, yeah, literally the one of the very, very last. So, yeah, just scraped in the first year.
Yeah, wow. And then ended up, did you go to, you went to training that night with Carney?
Yeah, it was all pretty exciting. Obviously, yeah, myself and Jess had got drafted and Carnes had already been picked. So it was a pretty exciting night, although we were trying to get ready for a different sport. But nonetheless, it was, yeah, still super exciting.
Were you really excited to be able to play with Carney then? Because obviously at the same club at that time, a good friend of yours that you've gone on this cricket journey together and now you're starting your AFLW journey together as well.
Yeah, I was so excited because I'm quite good mates with Carnes and we'd played a lot of cricket against each other, even, you know, WBBL, which was at the Stars, I was at the Renegades. So we played a lot of cricket against each other and it was just sort of nice to go, oh, we finally get to play with each other, albeit a different sport. But, yeah, no, it was super nice. I was obviously pumped to, yeah, get drafted by the Dogs and play some footy with her.
Lovely. So got into it, made your debut against Fremantle at Witten Oval, won the first game. That must have felt nice. But then following match, you got a suspension. How did that come about? You've had one game, one match suspension. Jeez.
Yeah.
Bad gal Lammy.
I'll be on a bottle top one day. It's the first AFLW player that's suspended. So,
niche. That's a great trivia question.
It is. I don't know if you want to be that person, but meh, I'll take it. I just sort of collided with a Freo girl and, it was actually a catch, and she's about 3 foot taller than me. So I've done well to try and hit her in the head, but we sort of collided, front, a bit of like, was almost like a bit of a, like front on contact. She marked the ball, she went to play on and I sort of came in and for a tackle and just kind of collided heads. I had a sore cheek for a couple of days and I'm sure she had a bit of a sore head, but yeah, got suspended, unfortunately after that, but yeah, missed the one. I think it's the only game I've missed in my career, I think.
Well. Well, we love that at Footy Talk. The first ever AFLW player to be suspended.
You've heard it, yeah.
That's exactly what we love here. So well done. Congratulations.
Thanks. What a milestone.
Huge achievement. Now, fast forward, 2018, Premiership player for the Western Bulldogs. I played against you in that grand final. Yeah. I don't like to talk about it. For the sake of this, I'm over it. I can talk to you about it. Ended up finishing third in the club's best and fairest. Huge game. You had 12 disposals, laid 8 tackles, and you guys won by 6 points against us, the Brisbane Lions at Icon Park. Take us through that whole day. That must have been amazing for you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you probably felt pretty similar, but turning up and it was absolutely pouring with rain. I've never felt rain quite like it. I remember warming up and it was like you had to kind of shield your face because it was just hitting you so hard. It was awful day in Melbourne.
Poor old Missy Higgins fell off the stage that day.
Yeah, Missy didn't go overly well.
No. She did go over, but not well.
not well at all. But, yeah, obviously, you know, every kid dreams of playing in a premiership. We obviously got the job done, which was super exciting. We finished bottom of the ladder the year before. So to turn that around, obviously it's very different structure in the game to what it looks like now. But yeah, to play in that was incredible. To say that you know, a premiership player is something that you can like always sort of take with you, I guess. It's something that you'll always look back on. And, you know, you look at some of those names that we had in that team, like that was a phenomenal team. And you look at, the names and what they've been able to do with their career since 2018 is staggering. We had a very, very good side. Some of those girls are going on to do some incredible things. And you always look back on it. We had a reunion. Was it a 5-year reunion at some stage? And like even that was just nice to see some players, even coaches and staff and the likes that have been through women's football at that stage. It was just nice to connect. So I think that's something that I'll look forward to, you know, as the years go on, is when you find a way to connect with these people, as you got that sort of special memory or special bond that you'll always have with each other. So, yeah, super nice feeling.
Given the players at that premiership as well. You guys are going to have some fantastic stories as your reunions go on, just with where everyone's ended up. Obviously, players sort of all over the place.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably one of the things that most players in the men's competition say is the most special about winning a premiership, just those reunions that you have and being able to ride that wave together. Got a few teammates now that are in the grand final this week, which we'll touch on in a little bit, but that's exciting. Your 2022 season was a huge season for you. Probably, it says you're a breakout, but I think you're already ready on most people's radar as a pretty good player in the competition, but finally achieved the AA team, probably a long time coming in my opinion. You won't need to say anything on that, but probably should have been an All-Australian a long time before that, but also voted by your peers as the most courageous player, which I think if, like, from that, with our AFLPA, obviously the players all vote on the awards. Was that something that was pretty special to you as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, like getting, you know, the W Awards or All Australian, those are obviously a great achievement. And again, something that you always look back on. But I think for me, like awards that are voted by your peers is something that is really special. And, you know, every award sort of has, you know, whether it be coaches or umpires or players. And I just think the players one speaks volumes. There's nothing more special than being voted an award by your teammates or like certainly the people that you play against. So, yeah, incredibly humble to receive that. And, you know, there's been a number of, I think Chelsea Rand was won it three or four times. So, like, there's a number of players that in the game who are certainly courageous in many ways, both on and off the field. But, yeah, obviously we've got W Awards tonight, but MVP Awards tomorrow night. So we'll see who gets nominated tomorrow night. But there's plenty of good names on the list of people to pick from, that's for sure.
Well, stick around. We will be touching on those AFLW Awards, which are this evening. And we'll also be talking about the prelim finals that just occurred and previewing the grand final as well. You're listening to Footy Talk. If you have questions for us, get us on Instagram at footytalk_pod or TikTok at footytalkpod. We're talking with Kirsty Lamb, Premiership Player for the Bulldogs, All-Australian and AFL Players Association Most Courageous Player Award. Now, Lammy, did you get an eye on the prelims over the weekend?
I did. I certainly did. I watched both of the games, both two ripping games, I thought.
Phenomenal football. How much do you think, and there was a little bit of talk over the weekend, the standard of those games, if you compare them to sort of prelim finals of the past few seasons, I think it's just really exploded this season. Those two games were two exceptional displays of women's football.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I don't reckon I've seen women's football that competitive, that skillful, high scoring. I just thought the weekend of footy was really good. I think it sort of sets the tone of what's to come in future years of the game as we obviously start to become a little bit more full-time, a bit more professional. I think that will only have an impact on on-field performances. And, yeah, I thought both games were obviously both super close. It could have gone either way at any stage. I thought there was momentum swings in both games at different stages. Both teams looked like taking it away and the other team would crawl it back a little bit. So, yeah, I was obviously there yesterday and watched North get a very close win. But, yeah, I thought both very, very good games of football and it sets it up for a cracking grand final next week.
On that grand final, so we've got North taking on Brisbane at 2:30 this Sunday at Icon Park. Tickets are available today, so jump on and grab them. Get there. Let's pack out Icon Park as much as we can. Who's your tip and anything you're sort of really excited and looking at in that game?
Yeah, I'm going to go with North. I think I've had a good feeling about them the whole final series. I thought when they got the win early to put them into the prelim, I just thought they played some really exciting quality brand of football. And I thought they showed that again yesterday. They have a number of contributors across all lines. And I think that's obviously super important when you've got players in good form, particularly this time of the year. So my tip is with North, I'd love to see them get a win, get a Melbourne team. Not that I'm, you know, biased at all, but I just thing, you know, Brisbane obviously been in, is it their fifth grand final? So they've obviously been super competitive for a long time, even though they've lost a few players along the way, they've still found a way to play some really good football and give themselves opportunities to win premierships. So I think it'll be a great game. It's going to be super close. I hope we get a lot of people to Icon Park. You know, I'll certainly be going and cheering on the three girls who used to wear the Bulldogs jumper, but nonetheless, you know, I'd love to see North get a win.
Well, who's your tip for the best on ground in the grand final? Who do you think will get it?
I think it's hard to go past Jazzy Garner. I think she's had a phenomenal year. If she keeps playing football the way she's played this week or this year, it's going to be hard to sort of go past her, I think. So I feel like she'll probably win best on ground. From a Brisbane's perspective, I could really go to anyone. I probably don't even have an lead. They're also so stacked across sort of every line. I thought their defence was brilliant on the weekend, the likes of, you know, Shannon Campbell sort of holding up down there, but then being able to push forward and try and, you know, contribute up there. But I think there's probably anyone from Brisbane could win it too. But Jazzy Garner, I think, will probably take out every award possible this year.
Yeah, I think if North win, it's going to be on the back of Jazz Garner having a big performance. I think Kathy Spark might spend a fair bit of time with her as well to try and quell her influence. But yeah, I think if you look around the ground, there's just going to be exceptional matchups everywhere.
Yeah, and that's what I think everyone will be looking forward to. Like, there's matchups across every line and not even just one across each line. There'll be multiple sort of key matchups throughout the weekend. It's just a matter of, like, who gets momentum at what stages and what do they do with it and how big of an impact they can have. So, yeah, I think it'll be a good game of football.
I think the one thing that will really disrupt Brisbane is that question mark over Dakota Davidson. If she can't get up and play, that's going to really upset their structure. You know what it's like when a big key forward goes out, and she's been their key pillar down there as well.
Yeah, she has. And I think, I mean, we obviously played North a couple of times, you know, this year in the practice match and in season, and they are super tall. I know Brisbane's also tall, but if you do lose a Dakota, then, you know, it means that, like, North are tall, and it's like, it's sometimes your teams, you know, you might have, you know, Kingy and Kate Sheeler and Randall down in the forward line. It's like, not every team has three tall defenders, so one of them's going to get off the chain a little bit. And I think if Brisbane probably, like, they need Dakota to play, I think, to give them the best chance possible to win, because she's obviously had a great year as well. But yeah, I think it'll obviously change the structure of their team. As it was Campbell that I think went down forward when she went off, so that then leaves them one short in the back line. And, you know, I just think it'll be really interesting to see how they shape up if Dakota doesn't play.
Yep, so Lammy's tip, North, Jazz Garner for the best on ground. Let's get into the W Awards then tonight. So obviously All Australian decided, Rising Star and Best and Fairest for the year.
Yep.
All Australian, I just want to touch on quickly a teammate of yours, Ellie Blackburn. So she's up against some pretty esteemed company in the midfield, and I completely understand it's hard to squeeze everyone into that team. Just from what you've seen on the field, watching her every game this year, do you think that she probably warrants a selection in the All-Australian team?
Yeah, and I try not to say that without being biased. I think, you know, she's had a phenomenal year. She's incredibly consistent. And that's not to say that, like, there's a lot of players that are, you know, very consistent, you know, Carney, for instance, you know, Noffy, Hatchard, Chloe Malloy. There's plenty of players that sort of stack up and have been consistent over a number of years. But, yeah, there's obviously a number of players that, you know, could, or even Georgie Prasparkas. I forgot, well, both Prasparkas, to be fair.
Yeah.
But there's just so many players that could run through the midfield. I really hope, on what's been a pretty tough season for us, I really hope that she gets rewarded tonight. She deserves it. She leads by the front, obviously, week in, week out for us. And she's a quality midfielder. And, yeah, I'd really love to see her get rewarded tonight with an AA.
Yeah, and I think the thing that other people don't consider is how much of the load she's had to shoulder in the midfield for us this year, with injuries, with personnel coming in and out. I don't think a lot of the other midfielders have had to do that to that extent. So I really, personally, I agree. I really hope, and we're obviously biased, but I really hope, from seeing what the work that she's been able to do, really hope she gets rewarded for that this evening.
Yes, she takes on such a load, and you're right. You look across, you know, some of the other players that have been selected in the 40 have probably got one or two players that sit around them that, you know, help contribute throughout the year, and Ali probably hasn't had that over this season. We've obviously had, you know, a few players like your Fitzies and your Pritchards and stuff like that really step up and take their game to a whole new level. But I just think Ali has so much weight on her shoulders, and yeah, I sort of tend to agree. I hope she gets rewarded tonight.
Who's your tip for the Rising Star? Obviously, Ellie Morfitt was flying high, but missed, I think, the last four games. Who do you think will take that one out?
She would have been up there, obviously. I think Matilda Schultz will, I don't know if she'll win it, but she's a chance of winning it. Is it Aisling from Geelong? I think she's been super for her first year to come from, you know, Ireland and play Gaelic footy to sort of come in and play a slightly different game. I think she's had a pretty good year. So I'd probably go with those two as the top three. I think any of them could take it out.
Yeah, Matilda Schultz has been amazing. I think... Yep. Ali Morford, obviously being the dominant ruck in the competition early on, took so much of her thunder away from her. But I watched her play St Kilda early in the season, and she is just a jet.
Yeah, she's going to be a real good player. Obviously, so young and got so much talent, raw talent already that can only go. The sky's the limit, really, for her. But the same with the other girls as well. But yeah, I think she's obviously. I think she played all 10 games. So she sort of probably play a little bit more games than Ali, but nonetheless, they've all sort of had a great year, particularly if you can come in and compete with the best of the best, you're doing well at 18.
Yeah, it's going to be a big award, I reckon, in the next few years, obviously with the talent coming through, and I think we'll see really close counts for it, and I'm really excited to see who takes that one out tonight. But the big one, the MVP, the best player in the competition, the female Brownlow. Who's your tip? You said you thought Jazz Garner was going to take out all the awards. I'm presuming that means you think she's going to finally work out a way to poll some votes with the umpires.
Yeah, I really hope for her sake that this is the year that she actually gets recognised by the umpires and polls a few votes. But yeah, I think she'll probably win it. I reckon it'll be pretty close. I think Chloe Malloy will be up there. Whether Noffy and Hatcher, they'll probably take votes off each other at times, but I think they'll both be up there. Both Prasparkuses are a chance of being up there. So I do actually think it's going to be a really, really close count. But I do think Jazzy will take it. She deserves it.
Yeah, I think it'll be super close. Obviously, Mon Conti always bowls really well, purely because she's a very good player, but also does some fantastic things on the field. I'm with you. I think it'll be out of Jazz Garner. I think it'll be Chloe Malloy will be very close up there. I don't think many in the Swans. Laura Gardner had a great season, but she does the in and under work, not as rewarded as the players like Malloy.
The flashy stuff.
Gets ahead, kicks goals when she needs to. The other one I think is a really, really big chance given the season that Geelong had is Georgie Prasparkas. I think her ability to break away from contest, she does some things that really change the game. And I think she's a super eye-catching player. And I think at the end of the day, the umpires have so much they need to focus on the game to then work out who to vote for. I think those things really play a little bit of a part to human nature when it comes to it. But geez, I wouldn't like to be the umpires. They've got so much to do.
They do. They've got a lot to do.
A lot to do on the field that actually count towards the game. And then post-game, think about, who do we give the best on ground to? 3-2-1. I know when I'm commentating, it's really hard to sort of pick out who you think is the best. So we'll keep an eye out to see how Ellie Blackburn goes in the All-Australian team. Obviously a teammate of ours, so we're, well, teammate of yours, player of mine. We're very invested in Ellie Blackburn here. But enjoy your evening. Get along to the W Awards. Make sure that everyone please buys their ticket for the grand final.
Yep,
Kirsty Lamb, thank you so much for joining us on Footy Talk.
Thanks for having me.
Listener.